This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
This morning I want to share around loving your neighbor. It's a well-known phrase that we're all familiar with. And I really want to commend the church for its love. I want to commend you for the way you love people on a Sunday. So many people have joined our church because of you loving, caring, and greeting and welcoming people, not just because you're on a team, but because it comes from the heart. And I want to thank you for that. We have that known for love on the wall, but you make that happen. And I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for how I see love is growing amongst us, how people are giving towards one another, how people are giving to body serve, how people are giving to the missions, and how people are giving to one another who have need. And I want to really commend you for that. I'm proud to be part of this church as we grow in love. We are not perfect yet, but we're growing in it. And I want to thank you for that. In 1 John 4, verse 12, it says, "No one has ever seen God at any time, but if we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him." So as we continue to grow in love for each other, this morning I want to ask the question, how do we grow in love for those outside of us as a church? I've been saddened to hear of the inner workings of the politics and the negotiations that have been taking place in our community around Sulihle and all its needs. And there are some that genuinely care, genuinely want to make a difference, but there's others that simply pursue their own agenda in their own well-being and their own prosperity. And I just want to honor those in our church, you know, the Stevens, Reino, Bion, and Gideon, you know, for what you guys are doing behind the scenes to really try and make a difference and be light and be salt. And I know there are many others. I want to commend you for that. What I see developing in our church on Sundays and during the week, I've realized that this is what our community needs. It's not just what church needs. It's what community needs. It's what our community needs. I realized what our community needs most is you. Our community needs you as children of God with His love in you to live and to be Christ amongst this world. And God has strategically scattered us all throughout this community in different places, in different workplaces, in different fields of influence. God has strategically placed His children as ambassadors. I want to commend you and encourage you to love the way God loves us. If we can take what we have here and multiply it in our community, will change the community. We are called to be salt and light within the darkness. Not just as an institution, as church, but as individuals, as the children of God. Being different to the world in heart, in word, and deed. That's what God has called us to be. And as we continue to grow in love for each other, I want us to ask ourselves, how do we continue to grow in love towards those outside of church? In Matthew chapter 5, we read the following. Jesus says, "You have heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven, for He makes the sun rise on evil and on the good, He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than the others? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. You know, sometimes we read this and we are challenged by it. And then this last verse comes in that says, you shall be perfect just as your Father is perfect. And then all of a sudden we have a get out of jail clause. Well, I cannot be as perfect as God is. It's interesting if you look at that word perfect in Greek, it actually means complete. Telios, complete. In its various applications of labor, growth, mental and moral character, it means to be brought to the end. Completeness of purpose. It's when you are a potter that is busy making a pot or a vase until it is complete. Finished. And so this word is that we may be made complete, finished off for its intended purpose. Just as God is complete. God has a desire in us to complete us in the way we love. That we not just love each other, but we love our enemies. That's the love that God wants to shape and form in us. Until it is perfect, finished, complete. It's the same root word that we have here in 1 John 4. No one has ever seen God at any time, but if we love one another, God abides in us and His love has been perfected in us. If you read the NIV, it says complete. It actually used the word complete more correctly than perfected. It actually means it is finished. The purpose of God's love is finished. It is completed in us when we are able to love one another the way He loves us. And not just those in the church, but those outside of the church. Then God's purpose of His love is finished in us. The work of God's love is finished in us. It's complete in us when we are able to love others the way He loves us. God's love is perfected in us in that. Mark 12, verse 28. And one of the scribes, a teacher, a lawyer, came up and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that he answered them well, he asked him, Jesus, what is the most important of all the commandments? And Jesus answered and said, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first and the greatest, and equal to this, second to this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. You must love God and you must love your neighbor. In Luke 10, Jesus again was confronted by a lawyer, a scribe, a teacher of the law that stood up and tested him, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? What is your understanding of it? And so he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Very powerful. And Jesus said to him, you answered rightly, do this and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing and wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he had arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, when he came where he was, when he saw him, he had compassion. And so he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil on and on wine, and set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took 2 denarii and gave it to the innkeeper and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' Then Jesus asked this question, returned the question to the teacher, 'So which of these three do you think was the neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?'" And the teacher replied, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." The question was, who is my neighbor? Now, instead of giving into a theoretical answer to a question that the teacher asked, Jesus cuts deep to the heart. You see, the Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. They were despised, hated, a half-breed nation with a different religion. And the Jews hated them. They hated them as a race. They would not enter their houses, eat, or even speak to them. So there was a very subtle justification in this question from the teacher. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "Who is my neighbor? To whom should the Jew look on as his neighbor? To whom shall we look upon as our neighbors?" Jesus answered in the narrative of the parable the question, "Who is your neighbor?" The Jews hated the Samaritans, seen as a half-breed, despised as a second-grade people with a different religion. But Jesus, through this parable, compelled the teacher to give an answer he did not want to give. The priest and the Levite were all fellow Jews. They should have been the friends of the one who was wounded. But they ignored him in his plight. But the Samaritan, the half-breed, the despised, the hated race, no, he had pity on the wounded man. The teacher had to commend the one he deeply hated. The Jewish teacher, because of his prejudice and racism, could not force himself even to name the word Samaritan. No, he said, he paraphrased it, the obvious answer, "He who showed mercy on him." Couldn't even say it. See, there's still deep racism in our community, on both sides. We as Christians, we have to be different. That is what we're called to do. That is what we're called to be. Jesus answers the teacher's response, "Go and do likewise." makes me think of 2 Corinthians. Sorry, I don't have it there. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 18. It says the following. Quickly go there. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation, that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, not keeping their sin and their guilt against them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. You see, God has reconciled us, not keeping our sin and our guilt against us, to Himself. That's why we are here today, because of His grace and His love, His mercy and compassion towards us. When we were powerless, dead in our sins, He gave us life in rich abundance. Now God says, I have reconciled you to Myself, and now I'm giving you this ministry of reconciliation. Go and reconcile the world. It's been given to us. The word says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. God has called us to be the salt in the wounds of our community. Salt not to add to the pain, but to purify, to disinfect, and to heal. But you know, Jesus never leaves us just with theory. He cuts deep into the heart of the issue, who is my neighbor? And then He says, go and do likewise. Oh, I love Jesus. I love the way He speaks. I love the way how He answers not the obvious questions, but the issues of the heart. Jesus, the Word of God that became flesh, that still cuts like a double-edged sword, that divides between heart and soul, speaks right into the issue of the time. It's not just about who is your neighbor. It's about your prejudice and hatred. And He cuts deep. Oh, when I listen to Jesus, I realize how desperately I need the Holy Spirit to change my heart, to change my mind. The way I feel and the way I think, I so desperately need God to change me, because my mind and my heart needs to change so that I can change my behavior. How we need Him. Oh, Holy Spirit, come and pour Your love in us. Make us Your vessels. Who is my neighbor? Jesus' parable answers the question. It's anyone. Anyone who has need. Anyone who is broken. Anyone that suffers, of whom I have the power to help. Doesn't matter what status, what race, what religion. Anyone that needs help, I have the power to help. He is my neighbor. But Jesus' answer is deeper than that. At the end of the parable, Jesus returned the question to the teacher. Which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? This always puzzled me. I mean, that wasn't the question. And Jesus returns this question, which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who suffered? Not what makes someone my neighbor. No, Jesus asks, what makes you the neighbor? Which of these three seem to have become the neighbor of him who lacked through their actions? Then Jesus says, go and do likewise. Become the good neighbor of those who are suffering. Become the good neighbor of those who are suffering. Become the one who has compassion when the rest of the world walks by. Comes the one who reaches out and meets the need with that you have when the world goes on. Become the neighbor. Go and do likewise. Go therefore and be the neighbor that shows kindness, have compassion, and meet the needs of any person who has need that you can meet, irrespective of race, nation, or religion, even your enemy. You've known it is said, you will love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy. If he is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. Go and become the neighbor. In our community, can we go and do likewise? Can we become the Samaritan, even if we are the despised, hated, and marginalized? You see, the Samaritan was hated, despised, and marginalized. Yet it didn't stop him from being the good neighbor to the one who suffered. Can we be the salt and the light in the midst of the darkness around us? Darkness in the hearts around us, around the fireplaces with our friends, in our workplaces with our colleagues, along the streets that we walk, and in our conversation with our children. Can we ask God to fill us with His compassion? Fill us, God, with Your compassion for those who are in need around us. Those who are suffering. Those that we have the means to help with. God, come fill us with Your compassion, with Your love. God, we need You to change us. Father, I pray. Lord, as we partake of communion this morning, Lord, I pray that You will come and circumcise our hearts, Lord. Lord, that You will come, Lord, and pour Yourself in us. Lord, I pray that we will this morning not just partake of You in this powerful sacrament. Lord, I pray that we will become clay in Your hands. Oh, Lord, I pray that You will mold us. Lord, that You will shape and form us into that You desire us to become. Lord, I pray that You will complete this work in us. Our community desperately needs it. For Your people to be formed and completed, perfected in Your love. Philippians 1 verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let us consider this morning. As we partake of communion, let's wait for one another. But I want to give you an opportunity just in your hearts, just where you're at, just to speak to the Lord. Just ask Him to come and shape our hearts. Let's surrender our lives to Him. Let's give ourselves to Him as living sacrifices and say, Lord, make me the clay. God, make me the vessel that my community needs to see your love. Whether I am the one that is despised or the one that have the means, God, help me to become the vessel you desire me to be. Let's just take a moment in your own words, just as your eyes are closed, just speak to the Lord. Father, when we were smitten by sin and dying, you had compassion on us. You did not pass us by. Gave your son not just to bind our wounds and to clean us from our sin, but to pay for us at great cost. Lord, we will not forget the cost of it as we eat together. God, we thank you for your blood that was shed for us, that washes us clean, that makes us new, that heals us perfectly in your presence. That we come before you, God, we are spotless. We are washed clean. Lord, we thank you for this blood. Lord, I pray that we will not forget how much we receive from you, that we will not become like the priest and the Levite. But that we will be the good neighbor. That we will live this word of reconciliation that we have received to those around us, Lord. In heart, in word, and in deed, Lord. I pray that we will be the vessels that holds this covenant as this cup does. But it's not the cup that's significant. It is its content. It is you. It is your blood. Lord, we thank you for this as we drink together. I'm also confident this morning that this very thing that he has begun in us, this good work, you will complete till the day he comes. Go and do likewise. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. May God bless you. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.